I think especially as women, and if you talk about like heteronormative relationships, it's women performing for men. And our role is to be the vessel for their pleasure. And that's how I operated most of my life. And then I started asking for what I wanted and, you know, taking control of my orgasms and having responsibility for whatever my sexual experience was. And I was like, what the fuck have I been doing this whole time?
Welcome to the Becoming Infinite podcast. I'm Cooper Gillespie, a women's empowerment coach, hypnotherapist, and modern mystic living in California's high desert. I believe every person has the power to create the life of their dreams by tapping into the infinite part of themselves. This show is here to inspire you to do just that. So each week we'll explore tools and practices, rituals and routines that you can use for your expansion. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, hey, how is everyone doing this week? I hope you're having a beautiful week. My week was, wow, it was filled with so much love and gratitude. I finished up Natalia Benson's coaching program, which I have other coaching certifications, but this one, I have to say, really was the most transformative coaching certification that I've gotten, in that it really transformed me as a person. The whole basis of Natalia's program is that everything begins with inner work. Everything begins with self-work. And I had to do a lot of self-work over these last 9 months. But wow, what I feel like a butterfly, like I came out of a chrysalis or something. And we had a beautiful weekend in Palm Springs this weekend with all of my fellow MBCCers. And I'm going to be riding high on that one for a while. It was just, wow, so beautiful. Hey, if you're enjoying this show, would you take a moment and write us a 5-star review on whatever platform you happen to listen to podcasts on? That would help more people find our show. Thank you so much. So I am so excited for this week's episode. I'm talking with Kelly Tennant, and Kelly is a top 50 podcast host leading the way for women to step into their sexuality unapologetically. As a former TV host, she knows what it's like to be the good girl and follow the rules, and she's helping others break out of this toxic cycle. She's created an incredibly successful media company, facilitates transformative women's circles, and guides women to their freedom. And oh man, I am so passionate about this conversation. I mean, we cover everything from sexual liberation in a way to plant medicine, but for me, the sexual empowerment is so important because I talk about it in this episode, but one of the most disempowering, traumatic things to ever happen to me in my entire life was to basically be sent away and shunned for having sex as a young woman. And it fucked up my life, like for more than a long while. And it just made me so angry. And I think that a lot of women are disempowered sexually. Even if they think they're liberated, I think a lot of women are sexually disempowered because our sexuality becomes more about pleasing a man or performing in some way for a man instead of about our pleasure and about our experience and about us living in the fullness of who we are. And that's what Kelly's all about. So we get into it in here. It's a delicious conversation. I cannot wait for you to listen. And I would love to hear what you think about this. If something really resonates with you, please DM me. Let's talk, because I found this conversation so wonderful. So anyway, without further ado, here she is, Kelly Tennant.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Great. I love your lighting where you are. It's like perfect.
Oh, thank you. We run a production company, so we're super over the top and have an entire studio in our downstairs of our house. So
it looks amazing. Usually I get pretty good light from the outside. It's the desert and it's always sunny, but we're having a weird cloudy Pacific Northwest day here. So I don't have the studio lighting.
I was born in Spokane. I love the Pacific Northwest so much.
Oh, really? Yeah, I grew up in Tacoma, so on the other side, but yeah. Well, you do such interesting work. I would love to hear your origin story. Like, how did you get started doing what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely taken a lot of twists and turns over the last 15 years. I started out as a television reporter. I was in Los Angeles working for the Lakers and the Dodgers. So that's why I learned how to interview and host shows and do all of that, and just like that back into production. And then I left that career behind. I was really just, I didn't love who I was. I didn't love my life. I was ready for something different and really wanted to create a new reality for myself. And so I left that and started my podcast and really focused on chronic healing because I had chronic illness for almost 15 years. So I was really in the chronic illness healing phase, alternative medicine, providing resources and conversations for specifically women to have a safe space to think outside the box when it came to their healing. And then it's just kind of evolved over the last couple of years. And now I talk a lot about sex and spirituality and all the woo. And we run a production company and produce podcasts. So it's so interesting how my old life has really been the launching pad for the new one. And it looks very different.
Yeah. Isn't that so funny? So then how do you make it from Spokane to LA? Did you know like that's just the place I have to go to kind of have the career I want to have? Or
yeah, I actually only lived in Spokane until I was 3, and then we moved to Southern California. So I grew up in Temecula, which is like 2.5 hours away from USC. I was a volleyball player, had a full ride scholarship to USC, and once I got there, I spent 4 years, and then I didn't leave for another 11.
That's what happens.
Yep. And then I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Especially with, I can't imagine having been in the city during COVID. That had to be a really intense experience.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we moved right before COVID. So we've been in Denver for the last almost 2 years. So we got out just in time because I don't think I would have survived that.
Yeah, it was from all my friends that still live in LA, they were like, oh, it was really intense. And so then how long ago did you start the podcast?
About 3 years ago.
Okay. And was there like a specific experience that led you to be like, I have to start this podcast? Or were you like, you know, I just want to explore all the stuff with my chronic illness and blah, blah, blah. And I think the podcast would be a good way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I always wanted my own show and I thought it would be a television show just because that's what I did for so long. And then when I left that behind, I was trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do next. What am I passionate about? And how can I use the skills I have? Because it's really the only skills I had because it's what I had done forever. I didn't really have any other job. So I was kind of limited in that way. And I loved interviewing people and talking and hosting. So it kind of just organically came together and made a lot of sense to me. And I knew that I had such a hard time healing that I wanted to help other women because I knew how isolating it was. I knew how much misinformation was out there. And so I just wanted to kind of take the lead and be someone who people could look to find more information so that they didn't have to go through what I went through.
Yeah. I feel like that's really true with a lot of women's health issues. Even if there are issues that also affect men, for some reason, when an issue affects us, it seems like there's a lot more misinformation. Or, you know, like it's funny because yesterday I brought home my first ever, I can't believe I'm saying that, it's embarrassing to me, but my first ever box of organic tampons. And my husband was like, why do you need organic tampons? And I said, well, on the outside of this, it says there's no bleach, no pesticides, no, but which I'm assuming is what's in non-organic tampons. And I can't believe that nobody's told me that. Like, I'm a grown-ass woman and I didn't know that until yesterday, you know? And it's just like, if that was a product for a man, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be telling him to, you know, insert bleach-soaked pesticide cotton into his body.
Yes, I agree. I know. It's actually, I did a lot of work around toxic chemicals and products because that's part of chronic illness and what causes that inflammation and hormone disruptors and all of that. And it is honestly so terrifying once you start going down that rabbit hole because you see how many chemicals are used in literally everything you touch all day long. There's an amazing website if you go to Environmental Working Group. I think it's EWG.com or .org. But you can put in any product, basically. Like you can put in Neutrogena face wash and it'll tell you what's in it and how toxic it is. So that way you know what you're putting in your body. And it's literally the most frightening thing ever. But at least you're informed and you can start transitioning to cleaner products over time. Or you can do what I did and just fill up black trash bags with all of your stuff and just start over.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that you do a lot of work with toxic products. And I'm like, that's such valuable work because I wouldn't even know how to find that website. So that's an amazing resource. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I know that as a kid, you know, when I was on birth control or whatever, when I was a young lady and, I got melasma, which is a serious like pigmentation of the face. And my doctor's like, oh yeah, that's one of the side effects of birth control pills. And I was like, what? If I would have known that, I never would have started. If I would have known my face was going to be messed up forever, I never would have started taking birth control. But it feels like they always just tell you things after the fact. There's an apology after the fact, you know? So that's very frustrating.
Well, I think too, I mean, not to get political or into vaccines at all, but yeah. I think it's kind of what we're seeing now, right? The vaccines now is the same conversation we were having around birth control in the 80s. We don't know long-term effects. It's like, oh, cool, this great thing. Like, let's do this thing. But we don't know because we haven't had enough time. So we are now dealing with the side effects of birth control that they didn't necessarily even know about 20 years ago. So we're like these living products of what has happened. And so now they're able to study it and see, oh, it causes leaky gut, it causes infertility, it causes melasma, like you name it, it causes it. And it's just so interesting when you start looking at toxic products, things we put in our bodies, this stuff needs time to be able to see what happens. No matter what kind of toxin it is, we have to be aware of that and we have to be better informed about what we're putting inside of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't just be like a little line of fine print or something. Someone really needs to say, hey, just so you know, this can have permanent ramifications for the rest of your life, for sure. I love too that you talk so openly about sex. I feel like that's something that women, even now, it's crazy to me that we're still dealing with this, where women have this expectation of like, I don't know, we're supposed to be like virgins or something until we get married. And then I'm not even sure what it just feels like. There's a lot of taboo about women just speaking openly and frankly about sex and wanting to have good sex lives. And I think it's so cool that you do that. Why? Where did that come from for you?
Yeah, as I was going through my spiritual awakening and just starting to ask myself better questions and realizing that so much of my life had just been a lie, I was kind of just living based on what everyone told me I was supposed to do and how I was supposed to live. And I never really asked questions. I felt like I was kind of a robot. And I started to look at my life and I felt like I hadn't really tapped into my desires. I had never shared. I had never been open to anything outside of the quote unquote norm. And so I started to explore that and I started to feel things and allow myself to feel things. And what started coming up was a desire to be with women and to explore what it meant to be bisexual and to have threesomes and to be in a, what we call a monogamous relationship, where we have threesomes with other women and do these things together. And what I noticed as I was, you know, awakening in kind of both ways and asking these questions is my whole world was expanding. I was starting to see myself for the first time. I felt like I was meeting me and having conversations with this version of me that I had pushed down for so long. It was like, oh, I get to be like this and I get to determine what feels good to me and how I want to live my life and how I want to relate to people. And it doesn't have to be under these strict guidelines and rules. And I don't have to feel like I'm chained to some ideal. I get to choose what that looks like. And so for me, it's just been a way to tap into more freedom and play and to just show up more authentically as myself.
Yeah, that's so, so cool. I mean, I grew up in a pretty, I would say, liberal place, but especially around sex, at least my sphere of people were not. And it was like, I wasn't allowed to call boys until I graduated from high school. And I'm like, I've been in class with this kid since we were 5 years old and I can't call him and talk to him about a math problem. No, it's not appropriate. He needs to call you. And I'm like, how's he going to know to call me? It just is like, why can't I call my friend? Because he's a boy and it's inappropriate for girls to call boys. Like, what? And then, as a teenager, when I did have sex, like my family sent my ass away. They sent me to go live in Missouri as far away. And they were like, you're never allowed to talk to that boy again. and you're going to go move to the Bible Belt now.
Oh my God.
Which I'm laughing about it. Believe me, this is like one of the greatest traumas of my entire life. I can laugh about it now because enough time has passed, but that fucked me up for a long time.
That's some bullshit.
About everything. Yeah, that is some bullshit. Like, shit, now Jesus is my only man that I'm allowed to have in my life. Crap. Which... Yeah, that was crazy. That was a crazy experience to have as a person, because it really messed me up for a long time. I didn't know how to, I was like, did I do something wrong? You know, like I was being called a whore. And I'm like, I think I waited a long time. I was in love with that person. Like, I was like, I don't understand. Am I a whore? Maybe I am a whore. And is it bad to be a whore? I don't know. Because it felt like, it felt pretty good. You know, it was very, very confusing and traumatic. So that's like a big thing that I'm passionate about too. And I guess I'm not as empowered to necessarily talk about it as you are in a way, but I think it's so cool that you do that for women, because for some reason we live in this culture where it's not okay for us to express ourselves sexually. Or if it is, it's like a show or something. Like, it doesn't necessarily come out of just being a natural, normal part of ourselves or something, you know, which it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like you said it's a show. I think especially as women, and if you talk about like heteronormative relationships, it's women performing for men, and our role is to be the vessel for their pleasure. And that's how I operated most of my life. And then I started asking for what I wanted, and, you know, taking control of my orgasms and having responsibility for whatever my sexual experience was. And I was like, what the fuck have I been doing this whole time? I can enjoy this too. I get to come if I want to. Like, why am I just doing this for someone else? And for his pleasure and to put on a show. That's not what this is about. You fucking dance for me, monkey. Like, be my entertainment.
Totally. I remember, like, yeah, like being a younger woman and having, I think even my stepmoms had a talk with me about how you couldn't lead men on because they would get blue balls and that was painful for them. So then you needed to like take care of them and blah, blah. And I'm like, now I'm looking back, like, why on earth would a grown woman tell a young girl something like that? Why would you send that message to them? I don't know. It blows my mind. But I totally operated that way for a long time, just like you said. And then one day I woke up and I'm like, what have I been doing my whole life? This is like not cool to myself. Oh. Which of them, really? You know?
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy. I was on another podcast this morning, and because she knew she was having me on, and it's the first time she's talked about sex on her show. So she does this poll on her Instagram stories, and she asked her people, would you rather sleep or have sex? And 80% of them said they'd rather sleep. And I was like, those people are not getting fucked right. Like, that is bad sex if you are choosing sleep. Look, I love to sleep. I sleep like 8 hours a night, but I will go have sex and then go to bed. I choose sex.
Yeah.
But I think most people are having crappy sex. Women are not having orgasms. They don't feel like they're being taken care of or held. And it's kind of just like, it's just really sad for me to witness, because I know, I don't know that I have the best sex life in the world, but I really like my sex life and I feel fulfilled. I'm like, I wish everyone could have this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And there's also, I think a lot of women feel like, maybe they would want that, but also then that involves a whole change in dynamic if they're in a relationship with their partner. And how do you navigate that? How do you suddenly just become like sexually liberated with a partner if you've never been before, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's been, the last 2 years of my life is like going from 0 to 100, but it's been so cool and it's been up and down. And I think it's being open to evolving. It's being open to hard conversations, to challenging yourself, to pushing yourself to your edge, to playing with what your edges and boundaries look like, and to seeing what else is available. We only know what's possible based on what we're experiencing. So if you've only lived in this box with a bow on top, that's all you know. So you get to start stepping outside of that and seeing what else is possible, and then leaning into it if it feels aligned for you and saying, okay, I kind of want to try a little more of this, or no, that was a firm boundary for me. So that you can actually see what you like instead of just doing what people have told you to do for a bajillion years, you know, lifetimes before us of people that have just lived a certain way. That doesn't have to be your truth.
What would you say to someone who would like to maybe be a little more sexually adventurous and maybe has a partner who they feel like that partner wouldn't be okay with that.
Yeah, I think it really just starts with a conversation. I think if it's something that you're even afraid to admit about yourself, just journaling it is really helpful. Sometimes we just need to get feelings and emotions and thoughts out of our bodies and physically write them down and see them so they don't seem as scary. We create stories about stuff. And then once we can see it, oh, okay, I can breathe. This isn't as wild as I thought it was. And it seems more tangible that way. And then I think taking it to your partner and not taking it to them when you're overly emotional, you're having a panic attack, or you're in the middle of sex, like don't throw in some wild BDSM fantasy out of nowhere when you think that they might freak out while that person is inside of you. Probably not the best idea. Not really setting yourself up for success. Just saying. But if you can talk about it when you're sober, clear, over a cup of coffee, where everyone can come to the table as equals and say, this is what I'm feeling. I've been having this fantasy. I get this a lot. A lot of people listen to my podcast and then go have these conversations with their partners. So I'm like really good foreplay. You're all welcome. But it's maybe I listened to this podcast and this girl talks about this dynamic she has with her fiance and they do these things. And it got me thinking, is that something you would ever want to do? It's something that I've considered. I'm curious of what it would be like to be with a woman, whatever that looks like. And then don't put pressure on them to have the reaction you want them to have. They may freak out and that's totally okay. It doesn't mean they're against it or it's a no, unless they clearly give you a no as a boundary. But sometimes people need a little room to digest. And so just giving that to them, not expecting them to immediately meet you or be where you are. And they may never be. And there are lots of ways to navigate that as well. But I think just bringing something up and speaking your truth and how you're feeling is you're just paying attention to what's coming up for you, but you're also taking care of your relationship because you want a relationship that's built on a foundation of trust and honesty.
Yeah, totally. And I love that you said, no, don't like force them to try to have the reaction you want, because you're actually probably going to get a better reaction if you just like put it out there and then step back and let them have their own experience of working through that. Totally.
Yeah. And you never know. They may be like, fuck yeah, I've been thinking about that for 3 years and I didn't want to tell you because I thought you were going to kill me. And there you go.
Yeah, totally. So then you also have a community, right? For women that if they want to work with you more, how does that work?
Yeah. So it's called The Onyx and I created it in January. I just noticed that as women, we feel really isolated and we feel like it's really hard to make new friends and new community, especially once you start having these awarenesses and you start growing and you're losing old friends, but it's difficult to make new ones, especially when we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so I really wanted a safe space for people to come together and to hold one another without judgment, to share what's coming up and to work through their things and know that they had a community of support around them that loves them and holds them. And so it's been really beautiful meeting with these women every month. I facilitate women's circles for them when everyone shares. And we have healers come in who also work with the group. I create journal prompts for them, extended solo episodes, playlists, all these things that were really helpful for me in my journey coming back to myself. And so we do it together and it's really special.
Very cool. And if someone wants to sign up for that, would they do that at your website?
Yeah, they can go to kellytennant.com and just click on The Onyx.
Oh, very cool. So when you were having your spiritual awakening, like how did that even start to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a few things. I was really miserable and I didn't like myself. And I remember looking in the mirror one day and I didn't recognize myself. And I wasn't sure what was going on, but I knew that something was off. And so I just started asking different questions. And while I was healing from chronic illness, I started working with these two doctors in LA and they sent me to a shaman. And then I went and did ayahuasca. And a lot of my stuff that was physically manifesting was trauma and anxiety and stress and things that were just holding me back and holding me hostage in my own body, really. And it was a lot of red flags that my body was trying to show me and I wasn't seeing them. And so it like physically shut down for a long time. And so I started working with these different modalities and people and I started to see real change. My body started to reduce in inflammation. The pain started to go away. And I healed in a year and a half after being sick for about 14 years. Wow. And so I knew that there was something going on. And so I just continued to dive into it and to surround myself with people who were asking those difficult questions and were open to growth and knew that there was a mind-body connection. And yeah, it's been kind of one thing after another. And the more aware I am, the more, you know, I'm able to let go and receive more healing and self-awareness and all of that.
Isn't it funny? It's like once you open that door and take that first step, watch out, because you just like the journey just goes, you're on it, you know? And I love stories about that because I think a lot of people feel very uncomfortable or freaked out about their spiritual awakening because, you know, there can be some judgment from people in your life. Certain people fall away while new people who are more into what you're into come into your life. That's just natural. But it seems like a common theme that when I talk to people, a lot of times they talk about, you know, coming out of the quote unquote spiritual closet. And it was like very, it was scary.
Yeah. I mean, I was raised Catholic, and not that I was very religious at all, but you know, you're raised a certain way and that's the beliefs that you grow up with, and very much conservative and kind of in a little bubble. And so when I started talking more about my spirituality and what I was doing, and I think I freaked a lot of people out. I freaked my parents out. My dad even the other day was like, I don't really feel comfortable with you doing plant medicine, and I'm sorry, I just have to be your dad right now. I'm like, thanks, Dad. I love you. I promise it's okay. I'm very smart about this.
You should be like, you should do some plant medicine to work through this.
No, I told him to, and he said that he had a couple bad trips and it left a bad taste in his mouth, probably like 40 years ago. I'm like, Dad, it's time to go. Like, your girl over here has got the hookup. Come sit with me. You'll be fine.
Totally. I think about that because you do really have to prepare mentally, emotionally, spiritually before you use plant medicine. At least that's been my experience. And anyone who has ever done it just to party, I can imagine it was a really bad trip, because That's not what you mess with that for. You mess with that to open yourself up to get the downloads of whatever it is you're supposed to be knowing at that moment. And if that's not why you're doing it, you're going to get those downloads and it's going to be scary, I would imagine.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine kids are doing mushrooms at 15 or LSD. Like my awareness level was so not there at that time. I think I would have lost it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, you could see how someone could say it, because there was always that fear. People would say, oh, you know, you're going to lose your mind if you do LSD. And it's like, well, I could see why. Yeah. If your awareness wasn't there and you hadn't prepared, I can see how that could happen, because it's powerful.
Yes.
Very powerful. But I also think that the knowings that you get, which are almost like you can't really even talk about them, because it sounds like somebody trying to explain something that can't be explained, which is exactly what it is. But the knowings and the healings that you get from a plant medicine experience are just very transformational, and nothing else can do that. I mean, maybe like people who are really great at meditating, they could do that. I meditate a lot and it's never been at that level.
Yeah. I'm sure people who do like ecstatic breath work and stuff like that.
Yeah,
for sure. I think have those experiences. I think those people are probably super dialed in too, and very intuitive, very aware already. So it's easier for them to connect in that way. But I'm with you. My most profound experiences have been with plant medicine, and there's literally nothing like it.
Mm. Yeah. And that's so great that you said that, because I agree that breath work is the only other time when I've felt even close to that. And in a way, breath work is that really ecstatic breath work is almost too much for me.
When your hands and your toes start curling and you look like this.
Yeah. It's a little too hardcore for me. I can handle plant medicine, but I don't know about that ecstatic breath work. This has been such an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really quick, one more time, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
Yes, kellytennant.com, and then on Instagram at kellymtennant.
And then your podcast is?
The Kelly Show.
The Kelly Show. Perfect name. Yeah. Awesome.
Holy smokes. Was that not a wonderful conversation? I loved that so much. All right, here are my key takeaways from this episode. 1, toxic chemicals are present in many of our everyday products. These chemicals can cause chronic illness and disrupt your hormones. Do your own research about what is in the products you use using sites like EWG.org. Don't trust companies to willingly disclose the toxic chemicals present in their products. 2, sex should allow you to live in the fullest, most empowered, most expanded version of yourself. You get to choose what your sex life looks like. We do not have to merely be vessels for men's pleasure. We can take control of our own sexual satisfaction. 3, if you want more from your sex life, think about what else is possible and then lean into it. And if it feels aligned for you, go for it. And if it doesn't, enforce a boundary. This helps you discover what you actually like instead of what society has told you to like sexually. 4, if you are afraid to admit your sexual desires, journaling what you would like can be helpful. 5, when discussing new desires with your partner, make sure to do it when you are both calm, sober, clear, and able to be present for the conversation. 6, don't put pressure on your partner to have the reaction you want them to have. They may freak out, and that's totally okay. That doesn't necessarily mean they aren't open to your desires. Sometimes people just need time to process. 7, your mind and body are connected. Often, mental unrest can manifest as physical illness. And 8, to have the best plant medicine experience, prepare yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. Plant medicine is not for partying. It opens up a portal, basically, to the universe when you will get downloads. And if you haven't prepared, those downloads can be scary. But if you have prepared, they can change your life. All right. That's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. I know you have so much going on in your life, and it really means so much to me that you spent this time with me today. I can't wait to spend some more time with you next week. And you can find all of the show notes and anything mentioned in this episode at my website, coopergillespie.com. I'll see you next week. Until next time.